We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, friends. This episode of Big Blue Banter is brought to you by Prize Picks. Head on over to Prize Picks and use promo code BANTER and they'll match up to $100 on a new deposit. Thank you and enjoy.
Everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited.
Welcome back. It's the Big Blue Banter, New York Giants football podcast. I'm Dan Schneier, joined as always my co-host Nick Filato. And today we had news and a picture from Adam Schefter of Russell Wilson flying out to Newark to visit with the New York football Giants, free agent quarterback Russell Wilson.
Robot Russell.
Who was reportedly a player that they explored trading for when the Seattle Seahawks traded for him, according to, I believe it was Seth Wickersham. I'm not sure of this ESPN, a report that was very well produced when I read it and very well sourced when I read it. Giants ultimately didn't trade for him. Thank God, didn't give him that contract. But now the scenario is different. And as I've read more into this thing, Nick, and we'll get into all these little details as to why, I am way more intrigued by, and at this point, like the idea of signing Russell Wilson. And I'll start with the number one thing, and I'll turn it over to you. The number one thing is, and I shout out NYG Mason for this on Twitter. Mason's a good follow. He talked about this as well. And the number one reason I have is if the Giants are to, like, they met with Russ Wilson. Let's say they like the meeting, Russ, like, meeting with the Giants. We've heard that Sierra wants to be in New York, his wife. He's wanted to be in New York. New York is also the place he won his Super Bowl, by the way, MetLife Stadium. Let's say it all goes well from that standpoint. The beauty of this whole thing is that if this goes well, the Giants would be signing Russ Wilson to a veteran minimum contract. That's right. I repeat, a veteran minimum contract. Why is that the case? People are like, oh, I don't think Russ would sign for vet min. I don't think he'd sign for vet min. That's basically no risk whatsoever for the Giants. But the reason he has to is because of how NFL contracts work. Guaranteed salaries come with offsets. That means the Broncos are paying him $39 million this year. And if he doesn't make a penny, and that means that he doesn't make a penny more than that unless he signs a new contract with another team that's paying him more than $39 million this year. So unless the Giants are willing to give him $39.5 million, he is incentivized to only take the veteran minimum. Because if he doesn't, then he's going to get a different contract. He's not going to get the $39 million more. So essentially, Russell Wilson is getting a veteran minimum contract in this free agency market, unless someone gives him a two-year deal, which is possible but unlikely. I think he's getting a one-year deal like Baker Mayfield almost no matter what to try to revive his career. So it's veteran minimum, Nick. And that's why I automatically think about this and I'm like, wait a second. I'm now kind of intrigued by this.
You don't know when Daniel Jones is going to be healthy and be able to compete. And you're going to be on the hook if Daniel Jones can't pass a physical after the 2024 season. So similar and ironically to the Russell Wilson situation with Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, the Giants are not incentivized to play Daniel Jones if they don't think Daniel Jones is the long-term answer. And let's be honest and be frank here. Daniel Jones isn't the long-term answer here. So Joe Shane is going to look at other options. And if you can get Russell Wilson at a vet minimum, and then Russell Wilson, say he does have a solid year with Brian Daboll, who was a quarterback whisperer, then Russell Wilson goes and signs a deal with some other team, you get compensatory picks from that. That's a solid situation for Joe Shane to kind of back himself out of the decision to give Daniel Jones that albatross of a contract now. So connecting some dots, it makes sense. I don't know if it will ultimately happen, and I don't know if Russell Wilson, if his best prospects is to join the New York Giants right now, maybe he can go to the Pittsburgh Steelers or another team that maybe are in a better position to win in the immediate. But still, I don't think it's as bad of an idea as I previously did, maybe even last week.
I never actually thought it was a bad idea, Nick, but now I almost feel like it's a good idea when you think of all the factors, the veteran minimum contract, but also if the Giants sign him, it's what you said. They then don't have to worry about that Daniel Jones injury guarantee for 2025, because there's a chance, like, look, if they sign him, let's say he had this good meeting with John Mara and Brian Daboll today and Joe Shane. Well, one thing is they're meeting and they're talking about, okay, here's how I see your career, Russ Wilson. Here's what I see from you on film. Here's how I see you envisioning our offense, Brian Daboll's offense. Here's how I see you processing the offense before the snap, processing the offense after the snap. And here's my vision for you. And I think I can revive your career by getting you to think about offense in a different way. And from everything I read, Sean Payton neutered the F out of Russell Wilson last year. He did not let him process the defense. He basically had him throw into spots that he wanted him to throw to. But that's not necessarily the case with Brian Daboll. Brian Dable's done a lot of good work with quarterbacks, man. He got an undrafted rookie free agent, Tommy DeVito, to win 3 football games from last year. And that included outside the number throws. This dude was throwing whole shots against the Raiders, against cover 2 Tommy DeVito. That's something we rarely saw from Daniel Jones throughout his NFL career. And he had Tommy DeVito doing it within a snap of a finger in days. Then Tyrod Taylor at the end of the season, explosive throw rate at 13%. This is a dude who had the 9th best EPA from clean pockets, Tyrod Taylor this year. Of all quarterbacks, 9th best EPA. Daniel Jones was 42nd best EPA, and Tommy DeVito was 43rd best EPA. Tyrod Taylor was 9th best EPA from clean pockets last year. That's filtering out all plays with pressure. These are only the plays without pressure. So he got a good, you know, explosive pass rate and good production out of Tyrod. And then obviously Josh Allen. I mean, he took the rawest prospect in NFL draft history and molded him to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So I don't think it's impossible he can revive Russ to an extent. And if he does, it goes into your next point, Nick, where if he does and Russ Wilson has a decent year with the Giants or a good year. And by the way, last year, Russell Wilson, 66% completion rate, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. 66% completion rate, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yeah, you got to be unlimited.
Daniel Jones is at 24 touchdowns as his career mark. Like, he already would have topped that, and he didn't even play the whole year. Russ was benched last year because of the injury guarantees that we're talking about now with Daniel Jones heading into this year with his contract. But if he does play well, Nick, he signs a contract with anyone next year. It can be a small contract or a big contract. The Giants are getting a comp pick back because the Niners got a compensatory draft pick back for CJ Beathard when he signed with the Jaguars on that little deal. So if Russ signs any kind of deal, any kind of starter deal, the Giants are likely going to get a third round draft pick back. So all they're giving up here is a veteran minimum contract. And then they get back potentially a third round draft pick, but at worst, probably a 5th or 6th or 7th round draft pick. What is there to lose at that point?
It'd be a straight bridge situation. And that's what the New York Giants might be in line for right now, given the infrastructure of their team, the dearth of talent on the team at the moment, the contract that they have allocated towards Daniel Jones. So you bring in your bridge. Russell Wilson is a solid bridge to have. Now, it gets weird because if the Giants are in the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes, if they really love one of these quarterbacks, I don't know if you do this deal, obviously, but unless you're going to part ways with Daniel Jones, but that seems almost unfeasible. But sometimes you just eat a lot of dead cap, and sometimes that happens. It really just depends. All I know is if you're Joe Shane, you cannot put Daniel Jones out there, have Daniel Jones get hurt, have Daniel Jones not pass a physical, and then you're on the hook for what? I think it's over $50 million the next year. Like, just an insane amount of money. That can't happen. Russell Wilson is a possible way to rectify that situation.
Sure. And I think if you sign him, if the Giants do sign him, they're telling him at minimum he's competing for the starting job. That's at minimum. I think there's also a possibility if they sign him, Nick, they're telling him behind doors, and we'll find out as the season gets closer. You're our quarterback. We're going to try to draft someone too, but draft is unpredictable. That's the thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, they can't sign Russ Wilson and then also draft a quarterback. They don't know if they're going to be able to draft a quarterback. There's no way to know it. If they had the 2nd pick overall, sure, you know you can get a quarterback. They're at 6. They don't know who's going to trade above them. They don't know if they even want, what if they don't want J.J. McCarthy? What if all they want is Drake May and Caleb Williams? And they're hoping Drake May falls to 6 or falls into a range where they can trade. But one, they don't know if anyone's willing to trade down with them. And two, they don't know if he's going to fall to that point. So you can't play this thing like, oh, we're definitely going to draft a quarterback. Because you know what? That's not how the draft works.
Of course, of course. And also, this is a vet minimum contract we're talking about for a player like Russell Wilson. And I know Russell Wilson has had 2 terrible years. It could go down for the Denver Broncos as the worst trade in NFL history. What happened? But still, there is some value with Russell Wilson. He showed at least somewhat of a competent skill set last year. And I don't think he was put into the best situation with Sean Payton either. I think Sean Payton bailed on him halfway through the year and realized that this wasn't the quarterback that he necessarily wanted. And
yes,
economics obviously plays into that too. But maybe a different situation, a different coach that can help revitalize him. Now he is 35 years old, right? He's not as mobile as he used to be, but he could still scamper a little bit. But yeah, man, I'm open to this. And the one thing I was concerned about with Russell Wilson, his height is a problem. Like he's not necessarily a quarterback who's going to hyper target the middle of the field. And that's something that I want to see. I want to see a quarterback who is tall, who will target outside the numbers from the pocket and the middle of the field. But last year, I believe he was 25 of 45. So that's about a 56% rate over the middle of the field passing beyond 10 yards. Right. So it's not necessarily terrible. I look at his career since 2016. Russell Wilson is 327 of 555. That is a 59% completion percentage, targeting the middle of the field between the hashes beyond 10 yards for 60 touchdowns and 23 interceptions. That's on track with a lot of quarterbacks around the league, right? Daniel Jones.
Beyond 10 yards and middle of the field, or just anywhere beyond 10 yards outside the numbers? Included?
Beyond 10 yards, middle of the field.
Okay.
So I'm only concerned about him throwing over the middle of the field in this sense. Like he's always been a pretty damn accurate throw over the football
outside the numbers.
It's just seeing the middle of the field because he's a shorter quarterback. Right. Is this something Baker Mayfield has struggled with? Is something Bryce Young is struggling with?
Well, Jones is a tall quarterback. How does that compare to his stats over the middle?
Yeah,
of the
field? So it's actually comparable. Now, Daniel Jones doesn't have nearly as many because Daniel Jones was drafted in 2019. But since 2019, Daniel Jones is 164 of 283, 58%. So very similar, only 17 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Russell Wilson has thrown plenty more touchdowns. Wow.
I guess it's similar in the completion rate, but from a touchdown interception standpoint, Russ is 60 to 23 and Daniel Jones is what, 17 to 11?
Yes. And Daniel Jones obviously also has a built-in advantage being physically just taller. But I looked up Dak Prescott as well. Dak Prescott was 57%, 300. This is from 2016, mind you. So his rookie season, Dak Prescott's rookie season, 350 of 609, 57%, 53 touchdowns and 31 interceptions. Then I pulled up Justin Herbert, just another big body, wide receiver, 184 for 340 since his rookie season of 2020. That's a 54%, 26 of 15. So honestly, from a completion percentage standpoint, it's comparable, right? It's very comparable. And sometimes it's even better. It's the best one that I listed from a completion percentage standpoint. And he has 555 attempts since 2016 in doing this. Not nothing. Right. He's still targeting 10 yards. So that's the one thing that I always have had an issue with Russell Wilson is targeting the middle of the field. But the stats aren't nearly as bad as the perception from my perspective.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Big Blue Banter listeners? I'm excited for the football season for several reasons. And one of those reasons is Prize Picks, which is North America's largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform. And it's so simple to use. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including professionals, sharks, and people who are going to exploit you, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections, and you just watch the winnings roll in. It's very simple to play and gives you a little extra skin.
I've set my picks in less than 60 seconds. There are so many stats to choose from, and the withdrawals of funds are easy and quick. Dan and I will be adding a segment to our show before every game where we pick our favorite stats, more or less yards or touchdowns, what have you, and we'll be discussing why from a scheme, matchup, and game theory perspective. I love their promotions and how easy their interface is to operate at Prize Picks. I may select more on tackles for a loss from Bobby Okereke or Kayvon Thibodeau next game. They also do other sports as well. It's a really cool experience. Please join Dan and I in the fun of Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com/banter and use code BANTER for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, go to prizepicks.com/banter and use code BANTER for a first deposit match up to $100. You will not regret.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Credit. Oh, my friends, you know what time it is. You're hungry, you're starving, and you desperately need pizza. You should get the best pizza on the market. And that is, of course, Little Caesars. Make Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during the pizza pregame all day on NFL game days and even on Pro Bowl Sunday, and get ready for some football fun and cheesy delicious pizza. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or our in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the game.
And it's interesting because just how perception goes, right? Because you just mentioned it earlier, and I think that's a perception I have too, like how bad these seasons were for Russ Wilson with the Broncos. But over these two seasons with the Broncos, despite not playing a lot of games last year because the Broncos wanted to protect against his injury guarantee, Russ Wilson had 42 touchdowns to 19 interceptions.
Real exciting. I'm real excited.
42 to 19 touchdown interception ratio. The reception is that was horrible. A 42 to 19 touchdown. Daniel Jones is like a 60 to 42 touchdown interception ratio in his whole career. And that's considered, oh, everything's bad around him. It's not his fault. Like, it's interesting how the perception is. Like, Russ is this horrible quarterback, yet he's dominating Jones from a touchdown interception ratio standpoint, even in his two worst seasons of his career. It's not even close. So it's just something interesting to consider. And for me, I go to the next point, which is how he is attempting passes and completing passes outside the numbers, 10 yards and on the field. So the same thing you said, 10 yards on the field, but instead of middle of the field, outside the numbers. And why do I think about that, Nick? Because we know that Jones has really struggled in this area of the field. In 2022, taking away the 2023 season when the offensive line was so horrible for Jones, just in 2022, when his season was the best season of Jones' career, you brought this stat up, Nick. Jones attempted just 39 passes that were outside the numbers and 10-plus yards on the field. He completed just 13 of those. That's been a calling card for Russ his whole
pocket.
Career.
From the pocket.
From the pocket, right. That's what I'm talking about. Passes from the – because everything – I mean, you can roll out, but most of the NFL is done from the pocket. So just 13 completions in this 2022 season from Jones outside the numbers, 10-plus yards in the pocket. That's not – that doesn't make me feel comfortable or great about bringing Roma Dunze in at 6 overall if I know that he's got a quarterback who attempts just 39 passes a year that are 10-plus yards outside numbers. But Russ, this is where it starts to get interesting for me. If you sign Russ to the vet minimum deal, is this going to help the development of a Roma Dunze or a Malik Nabers? I don't think it's hard. I think it's very easy to argue the answer is yes. Daniel Jones is still could be argued as a better quarterback than Russ, Nick, because of his running ability and because of the bootleg action and because he'll grind out yards with the scrambles and stuff. But as far as developing wide receivers by giving them chances and opportunities outside the numbers, attempting more than 39 passes a year outside the numbers, Russ is going to do that for Roma Dunze. And Russ is going to do that for Malik Nabers. So that's the next part that gets interesting for me. And then the third part of that is it keeps it open. Not only is it good if you draft a Roma Dunze or Nabers at 6, it's good if you draft a Drake May at 6. Drake May sitting behind Russell Wilson to me, Nick, a Super Bowl winning quarterback who's won the big game and actually makes pre-snap checks, actually identifies free blitzers, actually changes the routes with the wide receiver, something we have not seen Daniel Jones do enough of in his 5 years. That could be really good for the development of the rookie quarterback if he sits behind them. But either way, now you have the flexibility. You don't have to go quarterback at six, but you could if you want. And if you go wide receiver at six, you know you're giving him a quarterback who's actually going to attempt passes outside the numbers down the field.
And we know something about Russell Wilson, right? What is Russell Wilson when you think about him? It's that teardrop deep pass in a one-on-one situation. That's the last thing Daniel Jones does. So you're getting a completely different quarterback archetype from that standpoint. We've seen Tyler Lockett make some of the best catches because of amazing throws by Russell Wilson. Look, Russell Wilson has warts. Russell Wilson is not perfect. Dan and I are not saying this is a solution long term at all.
We're talking about a veteran minimum contract.
But I want to really drive the point home that you make, because I think it is very important. If the Giants are going to go this route and not select a quarterback, you're likely going to select Rumah Dunze or Malik Nabers. I think both of those guys would benefit gravely from a Russell Wilson who was going to throw the football deep up the sideline and allow them, especially Odunze, to win in those one-on-one contested catch situations. And I would love to see that. That's not the only reason why you're adding Russell Wilson. I think it's all the other reasons we already went over. But that's an added benefit if the Giants do decide to draft the Washington receiver.
100%. And Hughes brought it up on a podcast. I just said Hughes like an Italian. Hughes brought it up on a podcast a couple times ago. But Rumah Dunze last year, insane rate. 75% of his contested catch situations he caught. And Russell Wilson is the type of guy who's going to give him those one-on-one situations outside the numbers. Throw the ball up there. That's something Jones just... Again, 39 attempts in 17 games outside the numbers, 10 plus yards in 2022, not 2023 with the O-line thing, 2022. So, I mean, you just know, and you've seen Jones his whole career. He doesn't throw outside the numbers down the field a lot. He doesn't attempt a lot of those passes. It's not his game. He likes to check down. He likes to hit the backside drag. He likes to keep it safe. And that's just what he is at this point of his career. And that's how he sees Brian Daboll's offense. They're trying to get him to see a different way, but when they try to get him to see a different way, it really slows down his processing and leads to some of those late throw interceptions where you see Daboll looking at the tablet and slamming it down and things like that. So it's almost better off when you have Jones to just have, you know what, buddy, just run the B gap, scramble, throw the check down. Don't overcomplicate this in your mind too much. Cause when you get Jones thinking too much, it hasn't worked out well for the Giants.
Look, if this is a vet min deal and this were to happen, and it might still be unlikely, I don't know.
Right.
Russell Wilson has had three straight subpar seasons. His last season with Seattle, he got dinged up in 2021 when he hurt his finger on that Thursday night football game against Aaron Donald. He threw 25-6. That's not terrible. But then a 16-11, 26-8, it's not bad, but we know it wasn't a great fit for Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson sucks with the Giants, guess what? The Giants are going to be picking high again. Right. That's not what necessarily we want, but what we really don't want is what we discussed earlier in the episode, because that's going to screw the Giants into 2025.
That's not what we need. Bring it back up. Because we just want to confirm, because just in case.
Yeah. So if put Daniel Jones out there, he gets hurt again, which he's done in every single year of his career other than 2022, then the Giants, if he can't pass that physical, are going to be on the hook for over $50 million guaranteed to Daniel Jones. And that cannot be the case, because the Giants are going to be screwed even longer. And Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, they're all going to be out of a job, because John Mayer is going to get rightfully impatient at that point. If you want to look at it right now, it was a mistake to re-sign Daniel Jones to that contract, right, Dan?
You can't cry over spilled milk at this point.
And I think Joe Shane is savvy enough to understand that he's not going to double down. He's going to have a contingency plan to make sure that he doesn't screw himself over for the 2025 season, that he might not even survive if that's the case.
And that's the interesting factor of it all, that injury guarantee in Daniel Jones' contract. Kudos to his agent for finding a way to get that in for a guy who already had neck surgery and missed a year. And yes, he's been injured in every season of his career except one, but he's had two season-ending injuries, and that's the real key. Two season-ending injuries in 5 years is an incredibly high rate for any player, quarterback, or any position. And if he was there to have a third season-ending injury and then can't pass that physical next March, that's when the Giants are then on the hook for all that dead cap that Nick was talking about. And to be honest, as we see these reports fly in, like from Rich Eisen, how the Giants are done with Daniel Jones, it kind of adds up to the idea of like, well, one reason they might be done with Daniel Jones is that they don't want to risk putting him on the field and getting that injury guarantee. And because every time he takes a snap, it's a risk, given his one neck injuries, and now an ACL surgery. Every time it's a risk. And again, is that a risk you want to take at that point? And if you're Joe Shane and you're starting to think about this thing, because if they sign Russ, I don't think that means to a vet minimum deal, by the way, Nick, I don't think that means oh, that we can't draft a quarterback. I just think it gives them flexibility to not have to force a quarterback. And I think at the same time, if they draft a quarterback, they can have Russ start. The quarterback learns behind Russ. And then Daniel Jones is just a game day inactive every day, every game. So you don't risk the injury. Or, by the way, this is the last thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think this point was driven home when the New York Giants brass saw Tommy DeVito go on a winning streak and saw Tyrod Taylor hitting Darius Slayton for 80-yard touchdowns. I think that point was just driven home because of those two facts. And John Mara needs to be like, look, like I'm just going to allow Joe Shane to do his thing. And if you need to get out of this contract that you gave to Daniel Jones, find a way out of it and let's progress. Let's move forward. Let's compete for championships in the near future.
Yep. And then here's the last part of this that's really interesting. Well, there's two parts more that we haven't hit on. One more is, by the way, I talked about how if Brian Daboll's able to revive Russell Wilson to an extent, and, you know, revive is an interesting word for a guy who had 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year. That would go down as the best passing season of Daniel Jones' career. He's never had a 26-8 touchdown to interception ratio. But if he's able to revive him and get a good season out of him, if he sees the system well, if the Giants progress on the offensive line with Brasillo, if Hyatt takes a step forward with Russ, all those things, they're getting that compensation pick back. But in another scenario, Nick, let's say Russ is playing pretty good football, but the Giants have injuries across the board and they're just not winning games and the trade deadline comes. If you're looking at the NFL, the way it's played out the last 2 years with the insane number of injuries at the quarterback position, you could potentially then trade Russ like the Cardinals did with Josh Dobbs to the Vikings this year. But Russ is a better version of that and maybe get back a 4 or a 3 or a 5.
Because desperation is going to happen. Desperation is going to happen. A team could get injured. It gives you that flexibility.
So you're just, and ultimately the end result would be you're signing a vet minimum deal. You give nothing in cap space and no worry future. You don't put future cap. All you do is a 1 year vet deal with Russ. And now you can either have him as a trade piece in season or you let him sign after the season. And someone can then, if someone signs him, if he does a decent or good year, you're getting a 3rd to 4th or 5th round compensatory draft pick back. It's almost like a no brainer. It becomes at that point to me. But the last thing about this, which is possible, and I don't fully know this, I'm waiting on my boy Mason to give me some details. I'm not the best with the cap stuff. He said it's a lot to digest. Oh, he just said he replied, so I don't know if I can find this. And he said it's a lot to digest.
All right, I have something to say. I have something to say if you want to find that.
Go ahead.
So Dan and I were talking just a little bit ago about the explosive plays and how important that is, right? Big time throw percentage is a Pro Football Focus metric that they focus on, right? Pro Football Focus, focus. Russell Wilson had a big-time throw percentage last year of 5.6%. 2022, 4.4%, which was historically low for him. And then 2021 was 6.1%. Daniel Jones in 2023 was a 2.4%. In 2022, his great season, was a 1.4%. And in 2021, it was a 1.8%. So this is not a player, Daniel Jones, who has these big-time throws. Russell Wilson, the lowest he had would have been the second best in Daniel Jones' career. Daniel Jones' best would have been 2020, where he had a 5% big-time throw percentage.
Oh, I would have thought Daniel Jones' best would be 2019. I'm even surprised.
That was 4.1.
Yeah, but I think, it just goes back to how misremembered 2019 was. He had a lot of good stats against the bad teams, but did horrible against all the good defenses in 2019. Tampa, Minnesota just got crushed by all those guys. But like you said, Russell Wilson's second worst big time throw season would have been Daniel Jones' best. We know this though. Like anyone with two eyes should be able to see that Daniel Jones is a very conservative quarterback that likes to throw the backside dig and the backside drag and just keep checking it down and, you know, not take those chances. But Russ Wilson has always thrown over the top. That's part of his game. He, outside the numbers, like you said, not much of a middle of the field thrower, but it's fine. Give me Romo Dunze and let him develop with a guy who's actually going to throw the football up to him and give him opportunity. Same goes for Hyatt, by the way. We saw so many times last year. Wide open on the vertical plane. Wide open, Hyatt. The quarterback's not even seeing him. Field side, wide open against the Raiders 4 or 5 times. The quarterback can't get the ball there or he doesn't reprocess it. Now we have a quarterback who is going to be able to get the ball out up top to those types of players like Hyatt and potentially neighbors of Dunze if they sign him. So I just see it almost as a win-win, but this is, I'm trying to find the exact details of this right now. I can't find where he replied to this, but the last piece of this is that there's actually a possibility for the Giants to sign Russell Wilson to this contract, draft a quarterback if it falls in the right place to them, and then release DJ this year. I didn't really realize it was a possibility to release DJ this year because all of the money is guaranteed, the $47 million against the cap, but you can designate it as a post-June 1st cut, which would then essentially defer the cap. But I'm trying to get the exact details down on this. I'm going to probably have to come back to you guys on a future show. He said, I talked to my boy Mason, knows the cap better than me. And he said, there's a lot to digest. And there's permutations relevant to his contract, but essentially you can still, like, if they need to, they can avoid the injury, risking the injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract by releasing him and designating him a post June 1st cut if they draft a quarterback and sign Ross. So that is still also a possibility for the Giants if they are as concerned as it seems about his injury guarantee for 2025.
Which any general manager should be. Should be the primary thing on your mind.
The Broncos were concerned about Russ's injury guarantee. That's why they didn't play him down the year.
Yeah.
The Raiders the year before were concerned about Derek Carr's injury guarantee. That's why they didn't play him the year before. I believe there was another team someone brought up recently that benched him for the whole year. I'm forgetting about this because of the injury guarantee. Don't think it was Wentz. It wasn't Wentz. There was another one recent example, but it was like 4 or 5 years ago. But we're seeing it happen now more and more. We've seen in back-to-back years, Broncos and Raiders. You don't. The injury guarantee is everything for these GMs. Like, they're not going to risk allocating $50 million in cap space to Daniel Jones in 2025 when he's not even on the roster because he tore his ACL again or because he has another neck injury or something like that.
Joe Shane is too savvy for that, dude.
He's not.
I hope he is.
Yeah, I think he is. I really think he is too. Yeah. But anyway, that's all we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, I had one more thing, actually, and this will just end this real quick. Ben Albright, who is a reporter on the NFL and has scoops from time to time. I feel like he's generally speaking pretty good at this, Nick, just from my interpretation. He made his predictions for where quarterbacks are going. Caleb Williams to the Bears. That one to me is so obvious. He has Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. And by the way, as I'm watching this draft, Nick, as a big fan of Drake May and wanting him to go to the Giants, that's the pick that has my attention.
Talk about a middle of the field thrower, dude.
What'd you say?
Talk about a middle of the field thrower, Drake May.
Drake May is the middle of the field thrower. It's what you need. But he needs to work on some stuff. But who cares? That's all stuff that Brian Daboll's already fixed with Josh Allen, so he could do it with him. But when I'm watching the draft, and you know this, me and you are both in the same regard. We both don't like to get tipped off on picks by Twitter or by anybody.
Never.
So we watch. We want to hear Goodell announce it and have the surprise of hearing the first letter of the first name. Yes.
Yeah.
So when I'm listening to draft, it's going to be Caleb Williams one to the Bears. I know that already. And if not, I think the Giants will trade for that pick, but I don't think that's for available. Then it's going to be that second pick, and that's the one where my ears are glued, because I want to hear Jaden Daniels. I don't want to hear Dra. I want to hear a Ja, because if that's Jaden Daniels at 2 to the Commanders, I think that's when the possibility opens of the Giants potentially getting Drake May. I think it's the only way. I have to hear Jaden there, because then it's possible the Patriots take JJ at 3, or then it's possible the Patriots trade back from 3 to 6 with the Giants. But anyway, Ben Albright predicts Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings via trade-up to 3. I believe that's what he's saying, but I don't know. He just says via trade-up. Drake May to the Giants, and I think that means at 6, because he doesn't say via trade-up. Bo Nix to the Broncos, Penix to the Seahawks, Rattler to the Bucks, whatever. But Drake May to the Giants. So I'm going to keep that dream alive, Nick, that the Giants don't have to trade any assets. They sit at 6, and they get my boy Drake May at 6. Though my real boy is Caleb Williams, but I know we're not going to get him. But I still, at this point, Nick, I think my best scenario is actually, I'm so in on Caleb that I think my best scenario is trading up for Caleb. I've been watching, just to me, all the shit people say Caleb can't do is actually just BS. When you watch his tape, you're like, oh, when this O-line actually gives him time, he's by far and away the best rhythm quarterback. His lower half is compact. His lower half is completely connected to his upper half, and his mechanics are great across the board. Like, he's actually going to be great at that. So I think he's a special prospect, but I like Drake May enough from a developmental standpoint, especially with Brian Daboll, that would be my dream, man. Sit at 6 and take him. But yeah, I just want to throw a little Ben Albright.
So you're drafting Caleb Williams in the dynasty league we're in?
Oh yeah, I have the 1-1 overall. I'm not even considering another player, and I'm not considering trading that pick either. I'm Dave Gettleman. I'm in the 2018 draft. I'm not picking up my phone in our dynasty draft at the first pick overall. I know some people, and my buddy Steve Hall, who's the third pick, is like, oh, is Dan gonna? He keeps trying to like put into the world, like,
of course, Steve's doing Daniels, that. Yeah.
Trying to like trick me into like taking Jaden Daniels or like considering Jaden Daniels so he can get Caleb Williams. It ain't happening, Steve Hall. Okay, if you're listening, there's no tricks at play here. Caleb Williams will be my pick at first overall. It's the reason I tanked this year, because I wanted Caleb Williams on my team for the rest of eternity. So hopefully if the Bears freaking take him, which they will, they can figure out that crappy team they have and put some talent around this kid and let him play quarterback. But anyway, that's all we have time for today on the Big Blue Bander podcast. Keep it locked and loaded. We'll probably talk to you tomorrow or the next day with free agency nearing. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got to have a thought process of being unlimited.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in.
If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.